Coming up, it's HP versus Lenovo in a notebook face-off. We've got the in-ear monitors that Chad loves so much. And yes, the phone everybody wants but cannot get. We've got it. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Nature Box. Order great tasting healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine and get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like maple habanero pretzel puffs. Oh, baby! To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, the Twitch show where we get all the latest and greatest stuff, and we give it to our staff, give them a chance to bang on it, and give us a real-world look at what it's like to actually buy this device. And then we ask them, should you, shouldn't you? Buy, try, don't buy. Here's Jason Howell.
What's up, my man?
He is the host of All About Android, producer of Tech News Tonight. You see, he was at Google I.O. He is an Android
fan. Just wearing it proudly emblazoned on my chest today. The one day I chose to wear a T-shirt is the day that I had to clip on
a lab mic.
Yeah. And yes, maybe
so
not a good choice.
This is a really interesting phone. And the jury's still out on whether it's just a brilliant exercise in marketing.
Yeah, right.
Or actually the killer phone for 2014.
Yep.
It's the OnePlus One.
OnePlus, that's one word, and then one, another word. So, you know, it starts off a little with a little bit of confusion.
It's also a little weird and suspicious because the company, OnePlus One, O-P-O, it was created by folks who left, maybe didn't leave, Oppo, which is a great company that makes Blu-ray devices we recommend, and a fantastic phone, the Find. Mm-hmm. This reminds me a lot of the latest Find, the Find 7.
Yeah.
It also looks a little bit, as you mentioned, like the new Xiaomi phone.
Yeah, the Mi 4, I believe, that was announced today.
But there are a couple of things that make this phone particularly exciting to geeks. First of all, it's low price. It's Nexus priced.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's $299 for the 16 gig model or $349 for the not 32 gig model, 64 gig model. So it jumps from 16 to 64 with that $50 pricing.
At that price. And by the way, this isn't some stripped down cheap phone.
No.
They even call it, and I think they're probably fairly accurate, a flagship killer. It's high end in every respect.
Yeah, and but, I mean they got a lot of promotion, a lot of press because they really came out of the gates before they even showed any pictures of the phone. They had this whole, like, I don't know if you remember, 2 weeks of kind of leaking out, you know, day by day, like, here's another great thing that this phone that you've never heard of by this company you've never heard of does. And by the way, it's going to live up to the hype.
It's really an exercise in brilliant marketing.
Mm-hmm.
The final thing they did that really gets geeks excited is instead of having a customized version of Android on it that was made by the company, mm-hmm. like TouchWiz or HTC Sense, or this is CyanogenMod.
Yeah, and it's a special version of CyanogenMod, actually designed for this phone. It's CyanogenMod.
What is it, CyanogenMod?
11S. What is CyanogenMod?
Yeah, for people who don't know.
CyanogenMod began as an open source kind of overlay replacement for Android.
It's based on the
created by the community.
It's based on the Android operating system because that's open source,
mm-hmm.
and then it's a little sneaky because you download the Google services stuff after you install CyanogenMod when you do it on your Samsung or your HTC. Mm-hmm. Does this come with all the Google apps and everything?
It does. It's I suppose it would be considered a fork, but it's still capable of having all of the Google apps. It's certified as such.
And call it 442. Based on 442.
Yeah, right? It's based on 442 right now. They promise 2 years worth of upgrades for this phone. And they promise that once Android L, which is the next version of Android, is released, they'll have an update on this phone within 3 months.
Well, the CyanogenMod team is very good. They're very quick. They're fast. That is attractive to geeks because among other things, it may be more private than the Android versions coming from big companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they do keep it up to date. They add to it all the time. But I've found also that it could be a little flaky, a little buggy, depending on the hardware you're running it on.
Yeah, I mean, CyanogenMod, the strength of CyanogenMod, really, I'll get that reflection out there, is its customizability. I mean, you can customize this to the gills. They've got a theme engine that's built, that's included. And actually, the theme engine... you can pay for different themes. So what you're seeing right now is kind of the stock CyanogenMod theme, but I can go into the theme showcase here, and you can buy all these other themes if if that tickles your fancy, I suppose. $1.99, $2.23. You got to be okay to pay a little bit for it. So some people are going to be like, no way, I'm not going to pay to skin my phone, but other people might be interested in it.
It's really a desirable phone from a lot of people's points of view. Give us the rundown. And then, by the way, we should thank the guy who got us this phone. Because this is the really annoying thing. It's hard to get.
Yes.
You have to get an invite or play a game. This was the phone, remember, where the company asked people to destroy their old phone, post a video so that they could get the option, the opportunity to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
They just put out 5,000 more invites today.
I was just going to say, yes, it's called the Blizzard of Invites. So,
you have to be invited to buy this phone.
Yeah, pretty much still. You have to have an invite or, some people in the chat room also are pointing out that you can find it in stores. The problem is a lot of these stores are overseas. So, I was looking at a story yesterday that, yes, it had a version of the OnePlus One in stock, but, it was overseas in China, I believe. And I'm not even sure that it was running CyanogenMod version. So, there's a little bit of ambiguity there.
You don't walk into a Verizon store, an AT&T store.
No, this is pretty much sold unlocked and meant to be bought outside of the carrier restriction.
Bootloader is unlocked?
It is an unlocked device.
Okay.
You still
unlocked
have to root it.
The carrier. But you can root it.
I'm pretty positive you could root that. I would be really super surprised if you couldn't. I don't know that for sure, but I'd be surprised if you couldn't.
Run down the...
It's CyanogenMod. Come on. They built their business around
I think it should
people
be
that root their device.
Yeah.
So.
Run down the features, the specs.
You bet. Qualcomm Snapdragon 801 processor.
Top of the line.
Top of the line. 2.5 gigahertz quad core. So this is the same as the Galaxy S5. 3 gigs of RAM. So screaming on RAM.
Nice.
Non-removable 3,100 milliamp hour battery. 3,100 is pretty big, and I have to imagine. I mean, I've had it unplugged since this morning, and it's a quarter of the way depleted. Of course, I've been around Wi-Fi for most of today, but I've been using it a lot today. So there you have that. It's a 5.5-inch 1080p full HD display.
Big screen.
401 pixels per inch, if you care about that. A 13-megapixel rear-facing camera on the back, and a 5-megapixel front-facing camera.
That's high spec also.
Yep. Good pictures so far. I've taken a couple, and I've been pretty happy with them, but they've been in all great light.
Right.
So the real trick is, how does it do at night?
You just got this yesterday.
This is more a preview than anything.
Yeah,
I've only had 24 hours to play with it. Okay. So let's see here. Yes, it is unlocked. CyanogenMod, I told you they're going to have the update to Android L within 3 months of the official release. And this particular device, 7-band LTE, it supports GSM in the U.S. So that's AT&T, that's T-Mobile.
Not Verizon or Sprint.
Right. And it does some neat things like tap the screen to have it come on. It also has gestures on the screen. So check this out. I'll go V, and did it turn on the light? No. Sometimes it'll do it.
Do you have to?
Who's doing it earlier? Okay. V, if I do a circle, it might come on.
HTC did this with their M8, the HTC One.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Now it comes on and goes right to the camera.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you want that to be responsive all the time. And unfortunately, I would never use it if it's only going to work 25% of the time like that. But
one of the problems I've always had with CyanogenMod is the camera app's kind of flaky sometimes and not really responsive. This was pretty responsive.
The camera app, I've actually been really enjoying the camera app. I like the design of it. It has nifty things like if you swipe down, you kind of cycle through the different filters and everything. So
this is not the Google app. This is CyanogenMod.
Yeah, this is CyanogenMod's kind of skinned version of it. So far, and has an HDR mode. It has optical image stabilization. You can also turn on a burst mode. There's a burst mode in here as well.
So it's not a flagship killer, but it's comparable with the top of the line phones from Samsung, HTC, LG.
I mean, when you take it price, you know, price per performance. Just taking a look at the processor, the RAM that's inside, 3 gigs of RAM, the 801 Snapdragon. I mean, this is comparable. Yeah, it's absolutely comparable to the biggies, right? The S5, the HTC One, the Nexus 5, and it's priced at $300, like $300 for the entry level into this, and we haven't even talked about the design of the device.
What do you think of that?
I really like it. I think it's actually, and it's weird. We were talking before the show, this backing, it's a plastic backing, but it has this kind of rough sandpaper quality to it that I don't feel like I've seen in other devices.
We were trying to describe it.
Even know how you describe it. And I don't even think it comes across on video as well as it does in person, but the device itself just feels super solid, has some nice chrome detailings around it, and I don't know. It's, you know, just the way the camera kind of protrudes slightly out there, but not, you know, in a cheesy, chunky way. I really like the design of it. So
are you going to continue? Oh, and look at, they have other styles.
Yes, that's another thing.
Coming
actually.
Soon.
Style swap is what it's called, and including bamboo. So it's very similar to what we've been seeing for Motorola's line of phones, allowing you to actually change the case that attaches to the phone and not just put a case on top of it.
So you can buy it after the fact?
Yes, you can buy it after the fact. In fact, the bamboo, I believe, is $49 when it's available. I'm not sure if it's available immediately, but I know that it's coming soon.
Well, we're not going to make you do a recommendation or even pros and cons because you just got it.
I just got it. I'm going to play with it all week, and maybe
next week we do a
full review and do kind of more of an in-depth review, give you my pros and cons.
But how do you feel about it so far?
So far, I'm really impressed, and you cannot deny. Like, it's really interesting to see how competitive this $300 price point is becoming. $300 unlocked, you know, especially considering.
Well, who else? I mean, the Nexus is. Price.
I feel like you're seeing more phones kind of circle into this price range and realize like there's something to be said for making a competitive phone to all the phones that cost twice as much for half the price. And we're going to see, you know, the Motorola is doing a lot of this too with their devices.
Yeah, they've been able to bring those prices down.
They're driving those prices down. We're going to see more of that.
Even if it's not a killer, a flagship killer, even at parity for that price, it's still very attractive. And that's a really good price.
Completely agree. I can't wait to play with it for the rest of the week.
The OnePlus Space One.
That's right.
And we don't have any invitations. We did not get this that way. We're very grateful to a listener, viewer, who sent you a note, right? Do you remember his name?
I don't remember his name, but you know what? Next week's the full review, and he's going to get
credit
his name called out on the show.
He bought it but decided he didn't want to keep it, or what happened?
He had the chance to buy it, and on a whim, just very quickly was like, yeah, I'll buy it. And then he realized after the fact, like, maybe I want the Moto 360 instead. And so he basically sold us the phone, and he's going to use that money to get a Moto 360 when it comes out.
We bought it from him.
Yep.
And I think that's why this is good marketing. It's creating a need, a demand for this phone because of its scarcity that maybe exceeds what it should have or would have. We'll find out next week.
That's right.
Jason Howell is the host of All About Android and the new Android App Arena.
That's right.
Which we see every week, all the greatest Android apps. That's exciting, too. I'm glad you're doing
it. It's a
lot of
fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, of course, produces and is a big part of TNT every morning.
That's right.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of in-ear monitors. The musicians you see on stage, people like Bono, you see them on American Idol. They have something in their ear. It looks almost like a hearing aid, sometimes clear. Very often, these come from a company called Ultimate Ears. And for a lot of folks, it's the ultimate in headphones or earbuds or what we call IEMs, in-ear monitors. We gave Chad Johnson the new Ultimate Ear 900s for this review.
Hello, my name is Chad. I'm with Twit and Before You Buy, and today I'm reviewing the Ultimate Ear 900s. What is the UA900s? Well, they are a pair of very high-end headphones. These headphones come in at an MSRP of around $400. The idea behind these are in-ear monitors. You wear them a little bit differently than your normal headphone. They actually go into the side of your ear here, and then they wrap around the top, which keeps them in place, keeps them very sturdy over a long duration of time. These are also passive noise isolating headphones. Because they fit so well and because the seal around your ear is so tight, that they should passively cancel out the noise that is around you. Inside these headphones, there are four different drivers. There's two for bass response, one for mid-range, and then one for treble. I found that listening to these were absolutely great. The treble sometimes could become a bit concealed, but wasn't that big of an issue. I found overall that the audio quality of these headphones was fantastic. Now, with the high price, you do get an awful lot of accessories. Checking out the box, there are 9 different styles of earphone tip. There's just normal silicon rubber, and then there's also memory foam. There's 3 different sizes of memory foam tips as well. On top of that, you get an extra cable. The cable that comes attached actually has an iPhone control on it, which will work with an Android phone. Just the volume up and volume down will be disabled, but you can still use that middle button on an Android phone. Here's the second cable. It does not have iPhone controls on it. The cable is a wrapped braided cable, which can get tangled fairly easily, but this is what you see in most pro and high-end headphones, is this sort of braided cable. On top of that, you get a small bag. You also get a hardened case for your headphones, which is pretty nice, and a whole extra set of those 9 different types of headphone covers. So if you lose one, you don't have to go back to the store and buy another. And on top of all of that, you get a maintenance gel here, which you can put into the end of your headphone every 3 to 6 months. The general idea of these headphones is that they are replacing the Ultimate Ear TF10s, and I think that they did a really great job with this product. So, pros and cons. On the pros, tons and tons of accessories. Also, iPhone controls on the blue cord that they give you. And, of course, they sound fantastic. On the cons, this wire, I've already tangled it here. I'm trying to untangle it. Very easily tangled, the wire. And then also, a little bit expensive if you look at the other products in this category. The price that they're asking there's a lot of competition in this space. And these are on the higher end of cost in that range. So buy, try, don't buy for the Ultimate Ear 900S's. I'm going to give these guys a buy. I really enjoyed living with these headphones. The mic on the cable was super convenient for when I was doing things like just listening to music on my phone, but the audio quality is so good that I was using it to monitor my edits and monitor really high-end, some of the high-end stuff that we do here around Twit. So really happy with the UE 900S's. Thanks so much for watching. See you next time.
I had Ultimate Ears for years and was a big fan. Of course, I had the ones that were molded. You go to an audiologist, that's the ones the rock stars have. But the drivers are the same quality, got good quality headphone. Thank you, Chad Johnson. A buy on the Ultimate Ear 900s. Now, we're going to have a little laptop head-to-head. I've got the new Lenovo high-end desktop replacement. We gave Father Robert an HP Executive Business Ultrabook from HP, the EliteBook 850 G1. He has this review.
Let's get a few things straight. This is the HP EliteBook 850. It's part of their enterprise class line of executive notebooks. It's got a lot of features that the average user won't use, is missing a few features that the average user will want, and at $900 to $2,200, if the average user were to come to me asking for an inexpensive, super thin, light, and sexy notebook, I would say, no. Nuh-uh. Forget it. Never. Not gonna happen. Hells to the nah, don't buy. With that out of the way, let me explain why the average business and enterprise class user might be clamoring for a piece of the 850. At 14¾ inches long, 10 inches wide, less than an inch thick, and just over 4.4 pounds heavy, the 850 isn't the sveltest of notebooks, but at under 22 millimeters thick, it actually does meet the criteria for an ultrabook. Our test model, the EliteBook 850 G1, is powered by a 4th generation dual-core 2.1 GHz Intel i7-4600U Haswell CPU on top of 8GB of 1600 GHz DDR3 system memory. It sports a 15.6-inch 1080p anti-glare display running on integrated Intel graphics and a 180GB Intel SSD. It's packed with ports, with four USB 3.0, a media card reader, combo audio jack, an innovative hideaway Ethernet port, VGA full-size display port, smart card slot, side-mounted docking station connector, and a Kensington lock port. The user accoutrements are top-notch. The illuminated keyboard has plenty of throw and provides enough clicky action to give proper feedback. The off-center multi-touch touchpad features two sets of physical buttons, one above and one below, and is complemented by a touch stick for those who like joystick control. Stereo speakers pump out passable sound, and the screen is bright and color-rich, with a 720p camera tucked just above the display. Hardware buttons for Wi-Fi and volume keep the most-used features in finger reach, while the optional fingerprint reader is a nice touch. In terms of performance, the EliteBook isn't a gaming notebook, but it more than held its own in the mainstream business class category. The super slim 3-cell battery gave us an above-category average of 7.5 hours of runtime with power-saving features enabled. It's a great representative of its class of notebooks, but what makes the EliteBook 850 G1 worth its considerable price tag to business and enterprise users isn't the styling or the performance, but the toughness, security, and manageability. Above all, the EliteBook 850 is designed to withstand punishment. The black magnesium lid is covered in a soft-touch matte finish to reduce scratching from the odd toss and carry. The keyboard, mounted on a brushed aluminum deck, combines a wear-resistant key mechanism, an under-key Mylar film, and a small drainage channel to give users a keyboard that is responsive and 50 times more resistant to wear, as well as almost undrownable. To offset the occasional user error or malicious software attack, HP has baked a BIOS-based security feature called HP SureStart into the 850, which keeps a backup copy of the firmware that is automatically loaded if the primary BIOS is corrupted. The 850 has been designed to meet or surpass the 810G mil-spec standards for resistance to pressure, heat, humidity, shock, and altitude, with a combined total of 150,000 hours of testing in a lab. Combined with HP DriveGuard, which automatically stops a rotating drive if it detects excessive movement, the EliteBook is pretty much impervious to anything other than an intentional effort to break it. On the security side, the 850 is teeming with toys of paranoid goodness. It includes a standard smart card slot and self-encrypting drive so you can both keep unauthorized users out of the system and keep your file secure even if someone steals the drive. The 850 incorporates Mac-based hardware LAN asset management to let you keep tabs on where your assets are and what they're doing. Intel's vPro technology is baked into the EliteBook 850, preventing attacks below the operating system. Security and durability are good, but what really gets my geek going is the service and upgradability of the EliteBook 850. A slide of a switch allows you to pull off the back cover, revealing everything. And pretty much everything but the CPU and video part can be upgraded. There are two memory DIMM slots supporting up to 16 gigabytes of DDR3 memory. The combo Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and cell interface cards are both swappable. The battery can be replaced with the flip of a lock. The drive tray slides out with four screws. And there is an additional mSATA port, which means that you can run a dual drive setup to maximize speed and storage space for your particular application.
Well, there you go. There's a quick rundown of the HP, the Executive Elite Book, only for the elite users.
Only for, yes.
Padre's standing right here next to me with his fabulous Elite Book. You know, I ordered some years ago, and it's still floating around the studio, an Executive Dell notebook. It was really thin in the pre-Ultrabook days. Who has that? You use that, Burke? Somebody uses that. And it was very, very expensive, and it had a wireless charger, and it never really worked right at all. But this is a category because business buyers, you know, want something prestigious.
Yes, yes. They want something prestigious. And what HP was trying to do was they were trying to build an ultrabook for the people who cared about things like encryptability and LAN management.
Enterprise.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why at the beginning of the review, I said, look, if you're the average Joe looking for an inexpensive ultrabook that's sleek and
that's
sexy,
it's not this.
Yeah. But if you're in enterprise, there's a lot of things to really like about this. They have designed this for everything from the ports that they've included, like a VGA port. How many times do you see a VGA port on a consumer laptop?
And how many times do you care?
You don't care. But if you're a business user and you're going to conferences, that's what you have to plug in.
Let's get the pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Super durable. Crazy durable. Everything from the magnesium lid to the fact that you could drown the keyboard and it will keep working to the fact that it's mil-spec tested. It's really flexible. A lot of ports. It's also super expandable. I do like the fact
that I can open up the bottom of the notebook like this.
Oh, that's nice. That was easy. Did you have to remove screws?
Nope, that's it. Just one latch, and I get access to the battery, to the memory. I can upgrade the hard drive,
holy
the
cow.
SSD. Yeah,
that's the IT department again, isn't it? That's something the IT guys want. Yeah.
Exactly. It is enterprise-based. It's uber, uber secure. So, yeah, that's the pros. On the con side, it's price. You know, $900 to $2,200 for a device that a user is going to look at and say, no.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a pretty big price range.
It's a good price range. And so what I'd say...
Would the $900 one not be one you'd want?
$900, no. $900 would be great for, like, in enterprise if you're going to deploy a lot
of... And it's an i3 and lower amount of RAM.
Exactly. Okay. So, again, the user would rather spend that on something
and
else.
And you just put this on, like...
Just tape it that way.
Buy, try, don't buy.
This is an easy one. If you're an average user, don't buy it.
No.
Not even close. But... if you're purchasing for a small business, for an enterprise, if you want something that's upgradable, absolutely a buy.
That's the HP EliteBook for enterprise. And this model was the
The 850G1.
850G1 was the model as reviewed. Padre Father Robert Ballesteri is the host of Know How. He's a host of Father Bobby's Corner. What do you call that?
Padre's Corner.
Padre's Corner. He's the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech.
And Coding 101.
And he's the host of Coding 101. And one of the hardest working men in the brick house. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. Stick around because I want to want your help with this, which is
kind of a
different market. But before we do that, I want your help with this, which is for every market. It's the snacks from Nature Box.
I'll help you eat.
We look forward to this part of the show every day. You know, it comes about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. You probably, in work, in an office, you probably have this happen. You're just desperate to go to the snack machine and pick up a little something that's probably not so good for you. That's why in our office we have really healthy snacks from Nature Box, all designed by nutritionists. No high fructose corn syrup, no trans fats, no artificial flavors or colors, just good stuff like this. Roasted garlic pumpkin seeds. These are good and good for you. Just pepitas.
Pepitas.
Is that roasted?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pumpkin seeds. Peanut oil, salt, garlic, and seasoning. That's it. Whole corn, soybean oil, and sea salt in the sea salt pop-pops. Wait a minute.
Now, this is my jam.
What's that one?
The sriracha roasted cashews. These are so good. These are addictive.
So here's the deal. Go to naturebox.com and you can browse around. They have more than 100 different snacks. You can tailor the snacks for different dietary needs, glucose conscious or vegan. You can choose whether you want sweet or savory, salty or spicy. Or just get an assortment of snacks, 50% off your first box. And the best part is they come every month. Use the offer code TWIT to save half off your very first Nature Box. naturebox.com/twit. Sea salt. Oh. I don't even know what this is or how they make it.
I love the fact that there's always an assortment of
these. I've never heard
pantry.
Of that. Sea salt pop-pops.
Pop-pops?
All right, put away the Nature Box, boys. It's time for one more review.
Let's round it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeehaw.
There we
go. So you had an executive laptop. This is more of a home laptop, probably mostly for a gamer. From Lenovo. Lenovo's known for enterprise laptops. Their ThinkPad line, which they bought from IBM, still the king of the business notebook, right?
Right, right.
And we love ThinkPads. This is not a ThinkPad. This is the Y50 Touch. And when you say why, I might ask the same thing. Why? About $1,200 bucks, you can configure it. But it's basically high-end i7 processor, lots of RAM, nice keyboard. In fact, notice... kind of an expansive keyboard. At first I thought, what is this, for the Excel junkie? It has a numeric keypad. But then I realized, oh, no, that's gamers want those, right? Because many PC games use those gamepads. It's got a NVIDIA GeForce GTX 630 in here, fairly high-end video card. It's big. It's heavy. 15.6-inch screen. Now, the touch version has 1080p. They do make a version of this with a... UHD screen, but I have to say, even with 1080p, I found it hard to read this. I had to go into the Windows settings and make the fonts a little bit bigger because some of the touch points are a little hard to see. And just as you would expect with a laptop that's about media, it's got pretty good sounding speakers.
Really good. That sounds great.
The bass is good. It's ported bass on the bottom. It's Dolby, or doubly, as they say. These are JBL speakers. And I think, you know, I mean, look, it's not going to, you can't have a party, but if you're sitting and playing a game or watching a movie, it sounds pretty good for a laptop, for laptop speakers. There's got to be a way to stop.
That's the modern UI. There we go.
There's got to be a way to stop that. It is Windows 8.1, and it has some Lenovo stuff on it, as you'll see, including, I'm sad to say, McAfee built in, and McAfee has been popping up. In fact, it says, you only have one more day. Come on, you want to update your subscription? Just today it started popping up and saying that. But, of course, you can uninstall anything extra on here. It's just a shame that the companies still feel like they have to lard this stuff up with trialware.
Yeah. Who is this built for? I mean, because
I'm thinking it's a home user. It's what we call a desktop replacement. There's a couple of cons though on this because, for instance, something this size and this weight and it's fairly heavy, I think ought to have an optical disc. Yes. You don't have a Blu-ray player. This is a screen meant for Blu-rays, and it really is a beautiful screen, but no optical disc. On this, it does have two USB 3 ports, one USB 2 port, has HDMI. One thing I do like, and maybe this is for LAN parties, it has Ethernet. It's rare that you can get an Ethernet, physical Ethernet jack on a laptop these days. So it's kind of an interesting mix. Battery life, not great. Lenovo rates it at 4 hours. I was getting 345, three and a half.
No.
Yeah, very low, especially for something that's heavy enough. That you could, you know, put a huge battery in it. Unlike that HP that you saw, there's no easy way to remove this back. These are screws all the way around. I suppose you could get in there, but Lenovo doesn't expect you to. They're not, they're not really interested in doing that. Let's talk about pros and cons on this thing. On the pros, it does have a good keyboard. On the cons, it doesn't have the typical ThinkPad track touch thing. It's got a trackpad and not a very good trackpad. Notice not only is it off center a little bit, that's thanks to the numeric keypad, but it has a left and right side. I shouldn't have eaten those pop-pops.
Yeah, that's a horrible design, especially since the
I clicked the wrong side each
so
time.
Lenovo specific. Yeah. They love that.
This is the anti-ThinkPad. Mm. This is Lenovo saying, wait a minute, we can do design, see the red trims, the red touches. We can make something sounds good. This is for a home user. Obviously. It is fast, and it's a beautiful screen. I like the screen. Touch was a little sluggish, and I don't know whether to log in here. I don't know whether to blame Windows 8 on this or whether to blame the touch, but I was frequently doing this more than once, trying to, you know, get the various gestures to work, coming in from the edge and so forth. And it could be that the screen wasn't super responsive, but, you know, I often blame Windows 8.1. I'm just not a big fan of Windows 8. Friends don't let friends buy Windows, my friends. So I have to give that a negative. Price is a little high, too. At $1,200 starting point, you could get there are many good choices, including, I should point out, a MacBook Pro you could get in that price point. And you might be a little bit happier with the operating system on that. Keys do light up. So pros, good keyboard, good sound, good screen. The physical attributes of this are nice. On the cons, an okay trackpad, but I don't like the way that it's divided up. It's very confusing. Notice, by the way, I'm doing gestures every time I touch the trackpad. That drives me nuts. That's Windows 8, my friends. The hardware, though, is very good on this. The downsides, very poor battery life, a little bit pricey, and a lack of optical drive really seems to be a negative to me. On the other hand, I can't say this is a do not buy. It's a strong contender in a fairly crowded market. You got to like this nice metallic touch. Top and so forth. I'm going to say it's a try. It may not be the perfect computer for you. It certainly isn't the right computer for somebody who wants a business-style ThinkPad. This ain't a ThinkPad. This is a home machine, a desktop replacement, most likely designed for the gamer on the road. That's the Lenovo Y50 Touch. I don't like to do try, but I'm going to give this one a try. Thank you, Father Robert.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Chad Johnson. Thank you. Thank you, Jason Howell. Thank you all for being here. We do Before You Buy every Tuesday right after Security Now. I hope you'll tune in and join us as we talk about the latest and greatest stuff. We do put all the videos one by one and as a show total on our YouTube channel. That's YouTube.com. Where am I looking here? YouTube.com/ Who are you? What are you doing here? And then they change it. Yeah, thanks, Brian. Yeah. YouTube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can get each individual review show. You can share it with your friends or the show as a whole. We also, of course, make the show available for download at twit.tv/BYB or wherever you get your podcasts, like Stitcher and iTunes and Xbox Music and all of that. If you want to email us with your suggestions, BYB, it's there? There it is. Hello, who are you? BYB@twit.tv. That's the email address. Thanks for joining us. Remember, my friends, you have to watch before you buy. We'll see you next time.